আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়া সালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল মুরসালিন আম্মা বা'দ ফাআউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম ওয়া সালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া সালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ ওয়া সালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নবিয়াল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া সাহাবিকা ইয়া নূরাল্লাহ দ্য ভিউয়ার্স অফ মাদনি চ্যানেল ওয়েলকাম ইন দ্য সিলসিলা ইন দ্য লাইট অফ কুরআন. As you know that in this silsila, we discuss some particular verses of the Holy Quran and then we try to learn tafsir of some particular points from those verses from our Mufti Sahib. Reviewers of Madni channel, today we are going to discuss ayat number 106 and it is regarding nask or abrogation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Translation: and when we abrogate a verse or cause people to forget, then we bring a verse which is better or similar to it. O listener, do you not know that Allah has power over everything? Musab, regarding this ayat, I want to ask that particularly the word naskh is used, which means abrogation. So what is the definition of naskh or abrogation in this verse? And then how can abrogation occur in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything before, He is alimul ghaybi wa shahada, the knower of every seen and unseen thing, then why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that thing which changes afterwards?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The matter of nasakh is very important because it took place in the Holy Quran at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and because it was very important, that's why our scholars, mufassirin, they have written separate books for this mas'ala. Kitab, book about nasikh and mansukh, book about nasakh. There is a book by Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh, then by Allama Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah Alayh, then by many other scholars. So because that matter was very important, so that's why the scholars of Islam have written some books about that. So now, what is the meaning of nasakh? And what objection could be raised on abrogation in the Holy Quran? So the literal meaning of nasakh is to remove something with something. And in the terminology of Sharia, the meaning of nasakh is totally different. What is that? It refers to bring new commandment after the previous commandment. Means there was a commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal, but then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed another commandment and He abrogated the previous one with the new one. And it has been proven from Quran and Hadith. As this ayah we have recited now, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. So the word nasakh has been described here and it is the proof for the validity of nasakh in the Holy Quran. Means it has occurred in the Holy Quran. So now basically behind the meaning of nasakh, means it is the replacement of one commandment with another commandment, and the another commandment is revealed later in the time. Behind this meaning, there is another concept and there is another meaning. What is that? Allah Azza wa Jal revealed a commandment, and that commandment is for a certain time in the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah Azza wa Jal didn't reveal that end time of the first commandment. Then time comes, Allah Azza wa Jal reveals another commandment. So that time people come to know the first commandment has been changed and the new commandment has come and that has been implemented upon us. According to the knowledge of people, that is a new commandment. But basically, according to the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, the final time of the first commandment has come and then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the new commandment. If we try to observe the commandment and the rules of government, so sometimes it happens in worldly governments as well. Sometimes government implement a rule, and the government people, the government knows this commandment and this ruling is for a certain time, but they don't mention the end time of that commandment and that ruling. But the people consider that is forever, and that has been implemented over us, and now we have to follow it and we have to implement in our life. But when that final time, the end time of the first commandment comes, government changes its commandment and they bring the another one. So though for the people it is new commandment, and that is the changing of the commandment of government, but in reality there is no changing, because that was for a certain time, and that certain time finishes, so then the another commandment comes. So similarly, in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it happens when Allah Azza wa Jal commanded something, so in the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, it was that this commandment is for a certain time. For example, for 1 year, for 2 years, for 6 months, for 9 months, and after that time, Allah Azza wa Jal will reveal another commandment. So that's why it is not against the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. The question, the objection which was raised in this place, so that is not valid, because that would be valid when it could be said that someone has commanded something, then after a while or after a certain time, he realized that I have made mistake and I have to change this commandment, and then he changes that commandment. If that would be the case, so then it would be against the knowledge. It would be against the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal if that would be the case in the matter of abrogation. But because that is not the matter, the fact is entirely different from that. Allah Azza wa Jal already knows everything. He has knowledge of everything. He has the knowledge of seen and unseen matter. He has the knowledge of apparent and hidden matter. So according to his knowledge, he revealed one verse of the Holy Quran, or he commanded something, and he knows that I will give the another commandment after that time. So then that time comes, Allah Azza wa Jal gives the another commandment. So that's why there is nothing against the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the second question, what is the proof of abrogation in the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal? Because some people say the abrogation is impossible in the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people said that. But it has been proven from Quran and Hadith, and it has been proven from the history of the religions. Means the history of the all religions. For example, I would give you one example. At the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the matter of marriage was that time as well. So because Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was husband and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha was wife, so the sons and the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they were brothers and sisters of each other. So now, how was possible to get married with each other? They were brother and sisters. But because that time, that was the need of that time. There was no other way to get married with each other. So that's why there was only one commandment. Twins were not allowed to get married with each other, because in the pregnancy of Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, always twins were born. So they were considered as brother and sister to each other. They were not allowed to get married with each other, but the children of one pregnancy, they could get married with the children of the another pregnancy. That was allowed. So now everyone knows, mean the people of Bani Israel who have this objection over the abrogation matter in the Holy Quran, they believed and they know very well this was the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Sharia of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So was that changed or not? It is confirmed that was changed, and after that, when the human beings separated, so that time Allah Azza wa Jal changed the commandment, and then it was forbidden. So that is very obvious example of abrogation in the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when that abrogation could take place in the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, so why not in our Sharia? So it happened in the time, at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to the needs of people and due to the conditions of people, the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal never changed. The conditions of the people changed that time, as in the matter of the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the condition was different. So when the condition changed, then the commandment changed. So similarly, in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded something according to the conditions of the people of that time, and then the condition changed, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded another thing. So that is the example of abrogation in the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Achha Musab, if someone asks for any evidence from Quran and Sunnah, so what is the evidence or proof of nask or abrogation?
First of all, the very obvious proof is the same ayah. What we have recited in our question and in our answer, Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. When we abrogate a verse, or we cause it to be forgotten, we will bring the better one or the similar to the previous one. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ, don't you know, Allah has power over everything. The last part of the ayah is the proof for the abrogation.
True.
Because Allah Azza wa Jal is describing, Alam ta'alam anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Don't you know Allah has power over everything? He is ruler, He is ahkamul hakimin, He is Rabbul Alameen. When He is ahkamul hakimin and He is giving us constitution, He is giving us commandments, so what kind of ruler is He if He is not able to change His commandments? Because when someone is king or someone is ruler, so he has power to change his commandment. So when the entire universe is the kingdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal has power over everything, so he has power to abrogate his commandment. He has power to change his commandment according to the situations of people. So now the examples from Quran and from Hadith, from Quran particularly, so there are some difference of opinions among our scholars. How many ayat are abrogated ayat, mean mansukh ayat, and how many ayat are nasikh ayat? So mostly their focus is not upon nasikh ayat. Mostly they discuss the abrogated ayat, not the mansukh ayat. So some scholars have said these are only 5, as Shaykh Waliullah said. Some said these are 12 or 13. Some the scholars of this age, they are saying. And Imam Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh mentioned another number, and some other scholars have mentioned another number. But there are some upon which everyone is agreed. For example, in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakumul mautu in talaka khayranil wasiyah. If someone of you is about to pass away and he is leaving some wealth behind, it is first upon him to make a will. Means if someone has wealth and he is near to death, so now it is first upon him to make a will for his parents, for his relatives. Lilwalidaini wal aqrabin. So in the beginning of Islam, it was first upon Muslim, if he has wealth and he is about to die, so he must make a will. But after that, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed another ayah, the ayah of inheritance, the ayah of miras. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in that, Yusikumullahu fi awladikum lizzakari mithlu hawwil unthayin. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the share of every heirs in this ayah. So this ayah was the abrogator for the ayah of making will. So the first one, Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakumul maut in taraka khaynal wasiyya, that was abrogated, means that commandment was changed. And then Allah Azza wa Jal gave another commandment, and now we are following that commandment, and now making will is only desirable thing. Previously, that was first, because that is with the word of Kutiba alaykum, and with the word Kutiba alaykum is for prescribing, to make something first and obligatory upon something, as about fasting. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumul qisasu fil qatla. So qisas and siyam, they were first. They were mentioned with the word Kutiba alaykum. So similarly, that was the matter of making will. Making will was first in beginning, but after that Allah Azza wa Jal gave another commandment, and Allah Azza wa Jal described the shares of every hair, and now this is nasikh and the first one is mansukh, and that is in the Holy Quran. So now none can say that making a will is first. though that is with the word of Kutiba alaikum. So that is one example. Then there are other examples as well, inshallah we will discuss in other episodes.
The viewers of Madhi channel, so from the answer of Mufti Sahab, what we come to know, if I summarize, so that really Naskh is Haqq and it occurs and takes place in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Mufti Sahab proved this Naskh or this abrogation from different sources. It is proven from those Shariats who were before us, and it is proven from our Sharia as well, as Mufti Sahab gave some examples from Quran Kareem itself.
It occurs means it has occurred. It has occurred in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because now it can't happen.
Musab, here I want to ask you about the Naskh, that in what ways it can happen? In wording only it happens, or in commandment it can happen as well?
We have what we have discussed, that is about the commandments, because we use again and again the words commandment, the Sharia ruling, the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it means it occurred into the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there are some kinds of abrogation, some kinds of nasakh. One kind is this, that the words and commandment both have been abrogated. But their examples is very few, you can say. Means according to narrations, we know very few examples of that. And there is a hadith in Baihaqi Sharif, the book of hadith. One Sahabi used to recite one surah in tahajjud prayer. After Surah Al-Fatiha, he used to recite one certain surah after Surah Al-Fatiha. So one day, when he woke up and he offered his tahajjud prayer, according to his routine, when he tried to recite that certain surah, so he was unable to recite that surah because no word was in his mind. He was surprised that I am used to reciting this surah in my tahajjud prayer, but today I am unable to remember even one word of that surah. What is that? So when at daytime, when he met other sahaba ikram, so he told them the matter, what happened to him. So those other sahaba ikram told that the similar thing has happened to us as well. Then they asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, we have forgotten that certain surah and we are unable to remember that. So what is the case? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam told them that surah means the words of that surah and the commandment of that surah have been abrogated, means that have been raised. So that is the example of abrogation of words and commandments. Then in most of the cases, words are in the Holy Quran. Those are existing in the Holy Quran. But the commandments have been removed, that have been abrogated. As the same ayah, Kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-mawtu in taraka khayran al-wasiyyatu lil-walidayn wal-aqrabin. This ayah is in the Holy Quran and that is still recited. But it has been abrogated by the another ayah, which is about inheritance. Yusikumullah fi awladikum lizzakar mithul hawdil unthayyin. So now the nasikh is also in Quran and the mansukh is also Quran. So it means sometimes the words remain in the Holy Quran, but the commandment is abrogated. So that is the example of this. Then sometimes it happens, the words are abrogated, but the commandments remains in practice. The commandment remains in practice.
The viewers of Madhi channel, there is another question relating to the same ayah, but first let me read the ayah again and translate for you, and then we will ask Mufti Sahab the question. Ma nansakh min ayatin aw nunsiha na'ti bi khairin minha aw misliha. Translation: when we abrogate a verse or cause people to forget, then we bring a verse which is better or similar to it. Mufti Sahab, what is the meaning of better or similar in this context?
Better and similar, these are in two ways. One, the second commandment is better than the first commandment in reward. The second commandment is better than the first commandment in comfort and convenience. Means the second one is more convenient. The first one a little bit difficult. And those are alike, those are same, those are equal to each other. So means in reward and in convenience and comfort. Means both are difficult or both are easy. to act upon, so both are alike. According to some narration, the commandment in the beginning of Islam was this, that if a person has ability to observe fast, even then he was allowed to pay expiation, means he can pay fidya for that. So it was allowed. But after that, Allah Azza wa Jal abrogated that commandment, and then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed another commandment, that in any case, when person has ability to observe fast, he has to observe fast. So now observing fast is better than paying expiation, because observing fast is more rewardable act. So the second commandment is better than the first commandment in the matter of reward, in the case of reward. Then the third kind of abrogation, both are alike, both are same in convenience and in reward. As Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Muslim to turn their faces toward Baitul Muqaddas, then Allah Azza wa Jal abrogated that commandment, and then Allah Azza wa Jal commanded to turn their faces towards Khana-e-Kaaba. So now turning the face towards Baitul Muqaddas and Khana-e-Kaaba, both are alike in convenience and both are alike in reward. It doesn't mean that if when they were turning their faces towards Baitul Muqaddas, so then that time they were earning a reward 10 times, and when they turned their faces towards Khana-e-Kaaba, so they were earning 20 times sawab. So both were alike in reward and both were alike in easiness and convenience. So that is the meaning of bikhayri minha or misriha.
Dear viewers of Madin channel, I hope you must have understood from the wonderful explanation of Mufti Sahab that what is the meaning of better verse or the similar verse in this context. Moving to the next question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَ اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Translation: and who would be a greater oppressor than the one who forbids the masjids of Allah from this, that Allah's name is mentioned within them, and strives for their ruin? It was not for them to enter masjids except in fear. For them there is humiliation in this world and great punishment in the hereafter. Reviewers of Madri channel, I hope that you must have understood something from the translation of this verse of Quran, that this verse is talking about those people who used to forbid others from coming towards the masjid. So now here the term Zikrullah is used. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will ask Mufti Sahab about Zikrullah as well. What is the definition of this particular term Zikrullah? But before that, let's ask Mufti Sahab that in which context this verse was revealed.
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَ اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. This ayah is about the infidels of Makkah who forbid Muslims to enter into Makkatul Mukarrama for performing Umrah in the year of Hudaybiyah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Makkatul Mukarrama with 1400 of Sahaba Ikram, and their intention was only to perform Umrah. But when they reached the place of Hudaybiyah, so the infidels of Makkah, the people of Makkah, they sent the message, we will never allow you to enter into Makkatul Mukarrama, and we will never allow you to perform Umrah around the Holy Kaaba. So that time Muslims and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were forbidden by the people of Makkah. And other than that, when the people of Makkah, the infidels of Makkah, they forced Muslims and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on migration, so because of their force and because of their oppressions and because of their unjust, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba ikram migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, and because of them, these were deprived of performing Hajj and Umrah. They remained away from Makkatul Mukarrama, they remained away from Hajj and Umrah. So Allah Azza wa Jal is describing here, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِي حَسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. Who is the more unjust than the one who forbids from the masajid of Allah that the name of Allah is mentioned in their masajid? So that is the context of this ayah.
Now, Mustafa, the second question, that the term is used, Zikrullah. So what is the meaning of this term? What are the things which are included in this term? And then how they used to forbid others from entering into masjid for Zikrullah Azza wa Jal.
The word Zikrullah has vast meanings, because particularly make mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. As we make mention the name of Allah, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, in that way, that is also the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then offering prayer is also the kind of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, because offering prayer is for the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then particularly for Khana-e-Kaaba, performing Hajj and Umrah, that is the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the obvious meanings of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. But other than that, all the things which are done for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is, those are included in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. As recitation of Naat. Recitation of Naat is the praising of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because the remembrance of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Naat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also one kind of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why if someone forbids from the recitation of Naat in Masajid, he is forbidding from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is forbidding from the Zikrullah Azza wa Jal. Then, mentioning the biographies of Awliya Kiram and Salaf Salihin, that is also the kind of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned the biographies and the stories of Awliya Kiram and Salihin in the Holy Quran, about Hazrat Maryam, about Hazrat Luqman, about Hazrat Khizr, about Hazrat Zulqarnain. So how many personalities have been described in the Holy Quran? So what is the meaning of mentioning their biographies and their stories and their piety and their submission to Allah Azza wa Jal? That is the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why if someone forbids people to remember Awliya Kiram or to describing the stories of Awliya Kiram, so he is also the same person who is forbidding from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Okay, Musab, from your this answer, what I have understood that it is not allowed to forbid anyone from entering into masjid. So, but what happens that there are some people, they come just with the intention of creating trouble in the masjid. They are troublemakers. They trouble other people. So in this case, when we know that so and so person is only coming to create some sort of discord among the musallis or create a fitna in the masjid, so are we allowed to forbid this type of person?
Basically, that person is totally excluded from this ayah. This ayah is commanding us about the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning forbidding from Zikrullah is not allowed. That is haram. And the person is oppressor. But when that kind of person is forbidden from entering into masjid, so that time, in that case, basically we are protecting masjid from mischiefs, from discord, from disorder, from problem, from troubles, and from the irritation of people of masjid. So we are not that time when we forbid these kind of people who are creating problem in masjid. As you have mentioned, there are some people who do something which can cause problem to other people. So when we forbid these people, we are not forbidding from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. We are protecting the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal for being disturbed. So that's why it is allowed. As the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in a hadith, keep the children away from masjid. So what is the meaning of that? If children come to masjid, so they might offer prayer, they might remember Allah Azza wa Jal. So, but we have been commanded to keep small children away from masjid. Why? Because they will make noise in masjid. They will make mischiefs in masjid. So that's why we have been commanded to keep them away from masjid. So this hadith shows when someone is being forbidden from masjid because of his some mentality, because of some habits, because of his some mischiefs, so then it is allowed and that is not included in this commandment and in this ayah.
So we are allowed to forbid such type of people from entering into masjid, those who create troubles and problems in the masjid. So you must have seen many people that they come in our masajid just for creating trouble in our masjid. So if someone is forbidding someone who is shareer, who is a troublemaker, so then it is not forbidden. The viewers of Madri channel, it was all about our today's silsila. Inshallah, we will come again with another wonderful episode of the silsila in the light of Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to act upon the commandments of Quran. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran.